Yeah.
Well, he had other people working,
right,
too,
right,
but he
right.
was working. I think that did it for him.
Well, the strain.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it did. But that was his dream.
Right.
And then he would have been the only,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. and the first and only black mm-hmm. person that's ever had any business
in that area. Sure.
In that area. Because I remember I was mad I was living there.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me, oh, come out or something, and said, come on, Ken, I want you to go with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he took me down there.
To show you the spot.
To show it to me.
Yeah.
And I said, Joe, don't you think? I didn't want to
discourage him.
No. And, you know, Joe, to me, was well, he wasn't my father, because my father was living. But I'll tell you how I felt about Joe when I get through.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Joe, don't you think you're taking on a little much at this? No, he said, this is what I want. And I figured, see, Joe was straight. That he didn't have nothing, you know, too much to worry about. He had a little money. He was doing all right. And I just figured, oh, man, this is too much. But he wanted to do this. But I to Joe, and I can always, I say I'm the youngest, and there were five of us.
Okay.
There was Sterling, Lorraine, Joe, Wilma, and me. Mm-hmm. Both of my sisters were dead when I was 16
mm-hmm.
years old.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe always did take me, mm-hmm. you know, with him when he
prepared
could.
Right.
He always had time for me, you know. And wherever Joe, when he moved, that was how I got away from home. Well,
okay.
Joe was living on Anaheim. He married
right.
Betty.
Right.
And she was pregnant. Right. And he'd opened up the store.
Right. Yeah, I know, Camp Street.
No, Lions. Lions then Camp.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I mean, it was right there. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I know that. Yeah.
And he called me up. Now I was working. He called me up Friday night
mm-hmm.
and asked me could I come over there and work because Betty was
mm-hmm.
soon going to have
mm-hmm.
a baby.
Mm-hmm.
She was working on her job and
mm-hmm.
trying to. So I said, yes. I quit my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over there and I stayed. That's the way I got.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go back home each night, you know,
mm-hmm.
Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
Joe said, why don't you? I got a room upstairs. He said, why don't you stay upstairs? Well, I knew my mother and father, you know.
Yeah, they didn't think twice about that.
Well, same with Joe.
Yeah.
I was grown,
yeah.
but I wasn't that grown.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went on over there, and piece by piece, I took my
right.
clothes out.
Right. Yeah.
And I stayed. That was in 47.
Right.
And I stayed there, and then when he moved out here to Lincoln Avenue, he took me out there. He said, come on. And he introduced me to the man that was selling the place and told me what he wanted to do
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm going to have this. See, the club part wasn't
right.
really built then.
Right.
He built that.
Yeah.
And he had this apartment building on the corner. I said, well, Joe, and I want a bigger apartment. He said, okay. Next week, so I was out there. That's the only place I've ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
I left home, went to Anaheim, went to Lincoln,
yeah.
and got married and come here.
Yeah. Through Joe. Yeah.
Through Joe. But when he passed,
mm-hmm.
my mother and father both had passed.
Mm-hmm.
It got me.
Mm-hmm.
But when Joe passed,
mm-hmm.
that was just like
yeah.
a tree
yeah.
trunk. And yeah. the trunk, that,
right.
that was
gone.
It.
Yeah.
Because I always, anything that needed fixing, I don't care what it was, Joe was
there,
it.
Right.
And would
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it took me a long
yeah.
time to get over.
Very close.
Very.
Yeah, very close.
Very.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then when I started thinking, you know, if I ever think about
mm-hmm.
that, then I start thinking about the good times.
Well, yeah, you have to.
Yeah,
yeah you, have
you can't
to.
Dwell
yeah.
on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
No. But I just said, it just wasn't meant to
yeah,
do.
Yeah. And then again, I go back to what I said earlier. He was a little bit ahead of his time.
Yes.
See, that's
he was
that's
always thinking.
Right. Right.
Ahead.
Because even at that time, you know, there had been some talk about us because part of that was all. I won't say it was because of the union, but it was you know, the union thing was responsible for it. He wanted to establish a school to train black musicians.
I think so. Because he trained a lot.
Oh, yeah, sure did.
I have seen Walt Harper sit right on that bench too and learn how to play again, and Walt still don't.
He still don't know how to play.
Yeah. I would never say this to him. Because after all, Walt treats me all right. But I'm just saying what I have seen with my own eyes.
Well, like, you know, just like we had said, I mean, most musicians that have developed into anything came through a Joe Westray band at some point in time.
Some point in time. That's right. I had this biography of Earl Hines.
Right.
And it goes all through. You know, it is very interesting.
Well, I copied a couple of chapters out of that because what came up, I found.
Struck me as funny when I first seen
Wally Avenue.
How they could get Frank Bolt. All he knew was to go from the choir down to the low end
club and sit around in there. Yeah.
And that's all.
Yeah.
Now how many of us went in the low end?
No, we couldn't. And he put that story out on that Wally Avenue days. He said, you give Earl Garner a bag of gumdrops and he'll play all day, and a lot of people, because he said they called him gumdrops, but he didn't say why they called him
because
gumdrops.
Because of the candy kids.
Right, see, but Frank didn't elaborate. See, he didn't clear it up.
Frank didn't look.
Yeah, see? Because I remember talking to Gambrell, to his wife, because she was one of the candy kids.
Yes, I remember. See, and we all went to tea parties.
Right.
Yeah, I remember. I haven't seen either of them.
Yeah.
Long
time. Well, they live up on Broadcrest, right at the end of Leamington.
Yeah.
Verona Boulevard, but
yeah,
Lincoln Avenue.
Both of them are retired. I used to see them, you know, when they were both. I used to see Seth when I was still going to dance.
No more. Do you remember, was there ever an occasion where, like a band like Basie or Ellington or one of the Jimmy Lunsford, any of the bands that would come in that Joe and them would play, like, you know, like opening act or anything like that? Or did
I don't.
They probably didn't do things like that in those days.
No.
Okay. All right.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Okay. Do you remember? Okay, and you say you would go to Johnstown and Altoona and places like that, traveling with Joe's group.
Yeah, because that's about as far as
the territory.
And Midland, like,
East Liverpool and things like that. Wooling.
Where you get jumping and go and play.
Play and come back.
Come on back.
Now Ronnie is, which Joe's son is Ronnie's dad?
Well, to us, it's his oldest son.
His oldest son.
Mm-hmm. That's
okay.
Now this is Judy Betty's son.
Okay.
This is Warren. This is Jeff's
son. Okay.
And that's Ronnie.
Okay. See, I don't remember.
He would be around the skating rink all the time.
Okay. Now how old was?
Let's see, my daughter is Ronnie would be around. He was born around 44.
Is he close to Poochie's age?
No, Poochie's 61. Oh. Poochie was born in 36.
Okay.
Ronald, I think, was born around in 44.
Okay. Because a
lot of people don't really know him.
Yeah.
Of course, Joe, he was always hanging around Joe.
With him, right.
Because his mother, she lives on Bennett Street now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's always been around.
Because I remember, you know, there would always be, and then there was another young fellow, Carl Suthers. Right. He would always be at rehearsals, and he wanted to play trumpet, because he'd always, you know.
Carl lived across the street from my song. See, the store was on Bryn Mawr.
Okay.
We lived on Anaheim, and Carl lived across the street.
Because he was always there.
He worked over in the store for Joe.
Yeah.
And he was always around Joe.
And in fact, I saw him maybe within the past, I'll say within the past 5-8 years or so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
he's
and
had a little trouble, you know, that was them houses that sank on Bryn Mawr. Yeah, Bryn Mawr.
Oh, okay.
Those were his houses, and he owns that Knott Manor.
Oh, okay.
And I think he's done pretty well.
Yeah,
how he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I haven't talked to him or his mother lately, but he was always around.
Do you think, did Joe talk to you much about, like, the union situation and the merge and conditions?
A little, and then, you know, after the club went down on Bankstown, then
we went over to his place.
He brought it over to his his place.
Yeah.
And of course Ruby and George was there.
Yeah,
and
office.
I was in and out of there.
Right. He didn't say too much, he didn't discuss it too much with me.
What is it that I don't know.
Okay. Cause I tell you, I personally felt when the merge happened, I felt by them making him a board member, you know, reducing him from the president of our union, and then making him a board member, I really felt that was, you know, that was totally.
Well,
was really,
they wasn't going to do anything else, and as you say, so many of our musicians wasn't with them.
I know.
They were fighting against
one another.
Yes.
Yeah. See, and
they figured that going into the white union, 60 women, that they would get more jobs. But you see, as you say, Joe.
Yeah, Joe knew.
Knew better.
And I knew. Because,
and that was.
Yeah. But you knew.
But you couldn't tell them.
No, you couldn't
tell. And they really thought,
right,
I guess,
yes,
that Joe was taking over. And who else was going to do it?
Right, that's it.
When Carl and those brothers took over.
We lost a place right there on Lincoln Avenue.
Money was gone. That's right.
Frank Enterprise and Franktown.
That's right.
Yeah, we lost that.
And if Joe happened to, it wouldn't have been nothing.
Yeah. Because he offered us Lincoln Avenue.
Right.
And I remember comments about, go over to make Joe rich. I said, wait a minute. You don't have to buy no beer. You don't have to do nothing like that.
And a separate entrance.
Right. We take care of our business over there.
That's
He's offering us a facility.
That's all. That you had. There was no place else to go.
Right. We didn't have nowhere else to go.
But you see, that was always the attitude that they seemed to have.
Yeah. Well, we even had, there was another little problem that we had in terms of, like, community factions. We had a Northside group, and we had a Hill group, and we had the East Liberty group, you know. So we had some problems. Although down the hill, when the club was down the hill, it seems like there was
everything
more,
mixed.
Right. There was more harmony and love.
Well, you see, you didn't have the white musicians. You didn't have that not actually.
Right.
See. You go play your little gigs
and come on back.
And come on, and because you couldn't get into William Penn's. Well, that was a trend of the times then.
Well, whose fault was it? I mean, it wasn't our fault. You know,
it just wasn't going on.
Right, conditions.
No, so it was just like we say, we didn't notice segregation so much. It was here.
How come you didn't notice it?
We didn't want to.
They didn't want to.
We didn't go downtown and get turned away because we
didn't have
just
to. We had everything right there.
Had everything, and we just didn't go downtown.
Right.
That's the way that was. See, they didn't, like I say, the musicians go play the celebrity club or down
Bamboo
under the Rumpa Theater,
Bamboola,
and if they got a gig out somewhere, okay,
go do it. Yeah
go do it. Come on home.
Because we had the best of conditions at that club, at the musicians club, because everybody came there. And anybody coming in town, they got to come to the
they
Angels
Club. They come to the Musicians
Club.
Right. And there it is.
Hey, right.
When Perez, I remember when Perez was on the door.
Yeah.
What was Perez's name?
Hence Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Pendleton.
Yeah.
That would be my last stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everybody, that was it. You did your job, and you hurried off of the job to get to the club. To get some of Mr. Williams' chili.
I didn't eat no chili.
Oh, you didn't eat no chili? Oh, you missed the best part of it.
No.
Yeah, you had to get some of that chili.
At that time, I just wanted to be down there and dance and get
right.
music.
Right. But this is a big help to us, Catherine.
I hope because
like I said, there's a lot of information from I think I'm gonna try to contact Betty Brown Leroy's wife and see if I can get some, because we need whatever information we can get on the deceased.
Now I don't know whether Betty Westray could tell you any more than I can.
Well, I think, and then with these pictures, and this is going to be good, because we'll copy these pictures off, and that'll hook us up with, some of Joe Westray's.
I know my son-in-law tells me all the time how Joe used to come down there. And this is real, Omar Jamal.
Right.
He lived next door.
Yeah. Okay.
And his brother is married to my stepdaughter, and how Joe would come down there and. And they'd be going on the game. Yeah. Well, Alma had to be young then.
Yeah.
often laugh about, how Joe would come down here and Alma would be, taking his time. Yeah. Come on, man, we got to
hurry. We
got to
get out of here. But, Alma lives, he lived next door?
That's where, yeah.
Oh,
his nephew lives over there now.
Oh, okay, right. Because, I met him. When I got out of the Navy, he was playing with Leroy Brown down on Liberty Avenue at Rosen's, right there, 10th and Liberty.
Yes.
And that's when I met him, Fritzy Jones.
Yeah.
And I knew him through that, the Four Strings, with Joe Kennedy and Tommy Soles and him. But I didn't hang with him. I didn't know him that well.
When Fritzy was still here, I didn't know him too.
Yeah. Well. Too well, right.
Yeah, but I know he was gone.
Yeah, he was gone, and then he became Ahmed, and then that's it, And I've never, in fact, I think he's been in town maybe three or four times,
or a number of times. He has been in.
But I've never.
He hasn't come in. His brother is not well.
Oh, so he
and
comes
it's
in
just
pretty,
the three of them.
Right.
So he runs in.
Comes in pretty often.
See, but I don't see.
Yeah. Because Nelson sees him, Nelson Harrison sees him periodically.
When he comes, he's on the fly. He's going back. He's going to stay.
Right.
His brother. Yeah.
Well, what I'll do, I'll take these and whatever, whatever I can copy and use. Oh, yeah.
I had that because
his
cousin plays sax at my church. Strathers.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Strathers.
Yeah, I remember.
And he was telling me about George. And George was, I said, well, I got a picture of George. And I took it to show it to him.
Yeah, because we have a scanner that the girl on her computer, and we'll just scan these things off.
Oh, and none of them other pictures.
Huh?
None of them other
pictures. No.
Well,
and I'll scan these off, and then I'll get them back to you. As soon as I possibly can. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, because I heard this. I've heard some things that he's done.
Oh, here. This is the latest thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah, because see, I went to that thing down at
Benedum.
Lincoln Center, and they said Ronnie Westray. I didn't even know nothing about it.
Nobody.
I didn't know nothing about it,
And it's a funny thing, his grandmother and I, and my daughter and a couple others went, he had got called, got us tickets. And I looked over on the other side, and there was a young girl that used to have a crush on Joe years ago from my father's church. So, and I know, when she seen that Westray, I said to myself, now she is wondering just where does this boy come in at, and And so she didn't know I was in.
Yeah.
So when we come up for leaving, I went over to her. I said, I knew you wanted me. She fell out, because now she don't have to wait. She don't have to ask nobody.
Right. Because she,
get up on the horse.
Right.
So I explained to her who he was. And, she was, surprised.
That's good. Thank
but
you.
We find that I think he looks a lot like Joe.
He does.
And he has the same attitude.
Huh.
About them.
Well, I think he's in the right place. See, he's in the right place. Oh. If you want to do music, you got to go to New York.
Yeah, he went on to New York. He's been down there, South Carolina with his mother.
He was down. Columbia. Where did he go? Is that where he was raised down there?
Yeah. He was raised in Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay, from Columbia, from South Carolina State.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Well,
he just moved to New York.
Can I borrow this, and then I'll get it back to you, because I can put it in this bag, and I'll be sure to see that you get it all back.
Yeah, I don't trust nobody with it.
All right, thank you.
And these are
this
mine,
is itinerary.
Right?
Yeah, that's yours.
All right.
Because that's okay.
Mm.
Well, I'll fix it.
All right.
In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make another copy for you, because I'll take it. See, Kmart has a copy thing, and I'll make a.
Oh, well, now you don't have to go out
anymore. No, because I'll just make another. Because I'll get 2 5x7s on the page, and I'll make another copy for you.
Appreciate that.
Because that's what I. In fact, Ollie Steith, his father. Well, he's a young drummer. He's a drummer around here, but his father had a concert band back in the 30s. Because he said when Roosevelt Theodore Roosevelt Franklin Roosevelt came to Pittsburgh, his father had a concert band that played.
What was his name?
Ollie Steith was his name. Oliver Steith, and he had this picture of him with the band uniform and so forth.
Oh,
and it was a little postcard sized picture.
I
took it out there, and I had two copies for him. Yeah.
Well,
I appreciate this, Kathy.